Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number two, brought to you by DraftKings. Big names are heading to UFC 262, and DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight with 100-1 odds. Just pick the main event fighter you think will win, and DraftKings Sportsbook will give you 100-1 odds on that fighter. That's right, bet $1 on select fighters, and if they win, you win $100. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on a main card fighter to win. Place your bet and watch the fists fly this weekend. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's quarter number two, the Keystone Kickoff Show, along with Ross Tucker. I'm Jim Galante. Quarter two means it's time for Tucker's Tape. And Ross, we're taking another break from our positional review series. Last week, we took a look at the Penn Staters who were drafted. This week, it's never too early to look ahead to next year's potential draft picks. And it's a pretty interesting group we've got here, isn't it?
It is, Jim. And it's interesting on multiple levels, right? So, first of all, Penn State had a really interesting draft class this past draft that we talked about last week, where you had three guys go in the top, like, 50 picks, all of whom only were at Penn State for 3 years, Jim. And really, you know, I guess Freiermuth played like 2.5 years. Micah played 2 years, and Owe played 2 years. So then you got the other guys, the three guys that went in the seventh round, Shaka Toney, Michael Mennett, and Will Fries, that all of whom were at Penn State for like 12 years. It's unbelievable. Now, I'm joking. They were there for five, but it is interesting to see the dichotomy between the guys that get drafted high, usually the younger guys who were only there for 3 years, versus the guys that get drafted a little bit later. So you really want both, right? You want to have guys that have been there for 4 or 5 years that get drafted that have been stalwart players. But you really need some of the elite guys like the Parsons and Owe's and Freiermuth's that get drafted high and leave school early. You know, Penn State, I don't think they'll have as many guys drafted in the top 50 next year as they did this year. But I do think that they'll probably end up having about the same number of guys that get drafted. And I can think of at least three, probably four Penn Staters, Jim, that would have been drafted this year, I believe, if they had left school early. Now, I think they all probably would have gone pretty late or later in the draft, at least. I'd say a couple mid-round picks, maybe. Maybe three mid-round picks and one late-round pick if they had left school early. Do you want to take a guess, Jim?
Well, I'm going to take a guess at the guys who decided to come back, who were Jaquan Brisker, Tariq Castro-Fields, and Jahan Dotson.
Right. I would say Castro-Fields probably would have been a late pick because he has good experience, good physical ability, but he's been inconsistent in his career, and he didn't really play at all last year, did he? I mean, I don't remember him ever playing. Did he play in the first game a little bit, maybe?
I don't remember my memory is they kept reporting he's in uniform and warming up.
Every game the whole year. Every game the whole year.
Like.
And I thought, okay, he's going to NFL and he just doesn't want to say it. You know, he's opting out without opting out. That's what I remember distinctly thinking. I might even said it here on the show. But I thought that that was the case. Evidently, it wasn't. So I think Castro-Fields would have been a late round pick this year. I think Jahan Dotson probably would have found himself in the middle rounds, fourth, fifth, sixth, something like that. There were a lot of good receivers this year, Jim. A lot of good receivers. And you see some of the guys that went in the fifth round, they're good. I mean, they are good players. And then Brisker and Rashid Walker are probably the two best prospects of that group. You know, Walker, because of his physical ability, I think somebody would have ended up taking him in the middle rounds. And Brisker had a really good year. You know, Walker and Brisker were both third team all Big Ten, but Brisker's really good against the run. He did a nice job on the back end as well. So I think if they have guys that have a chance to be first round picks next year, Jim, it would be Rashid Walker and Jaquan Brisker. I don't know if they'll get there, but those are the guys that I think have a chance to go on day one. I think if they have terrific years, Dotson and Castro Fields might be able to go on day two. I don't think any of them would have gone on day one or day two this year. I've got more to say, but every once in a while, it's nice to take a sip of my water and a breather and let you say something.
Well, I've seen a couple mock drafts out there, and I was stunned in one of them. They actually had Rashid Walker as a top 10 pick, and my reaction to that was positional value. And I guess that was my next question. How important is it being a left tackle in going into the draft?
Well, tackles are always important. I think if you play left in college, that certainly gives you a little bit of boost, although that is probably not as big a deal as it used to be. And people that are longtime listeners of the show, and I know there's a lot of you out there, and I love that you're longtime listeners, and hopefully you spread the word, I don't know, whether it's email or social media, to other Penn State fans, because really they should all be listening to the Keystone Sports Network on the Keystone Sports app. But I was really high on Rashid Walker's high school video. In fact, I think, Jim, that might have been the highest grade or highest I ever was on a Penn State incoming offensive lineman since we've been doing this. I was very high on Michael Mennett. I was pretty high on Connor McGovern. I was pretty high on Nana Asiju. But I think Rashid Walker, he looked like what you would expect a first-round pick left tackle to look like in high school. That's what he looked like. That's what I thought when I watched him play. I thought, wow, this guy is super, super impressive. And that's still there for him. Now, he did not take the leap last year that I thought he could or would. You know, it feels like last year, Jim, was good for Will Fries. I'm not sure Mennett took a step forward. I'm not sure Rashid Walker took a huge step forward. I don't know that I thought he was a lot better in 2020 than he was in 2019. He did some really good things in 2019 against guys like Epinesa and Chase Young. You know, his first year as a starter, as a redshirt freshman, I saw some really good things from Rashid Walker. He's 6'6", 312, long arms, good power, works to finish, has nice feet. He strikes me as a guy that if he really focuses and is all in for this season, he could have a dominant year and put himself firmly in the round one conversation. I think top 10 is a stretch based on what I've seen so far. There's a lot of mock first rounds. I haven't seen him at all. So I think top 10 is a stretch. I don't even think he'd be a projected first round pick right now, but he definitely has that physical ability.
And to be fair, it was just one mock draft that had him there. Okay, in the time we have left, I'm going to throw a whole bunch of defensive names at you. You pick the ones that you think could be drafted. PJ Mustipher, Arnold Ibikidi, Brandon Smith, Joey Porter Jr., and Keaton Ellis.
I don't think Keaton Ellis is there yet. I think Joey Porter Jr. has the length and speed that if he had a really good year, he could think about it. Mustipher absolutely could consider it. But, man, he's a guy that I feel like right now would be a late-round pick if he, you know, left last year. He's going to have to be more productive and have a better year than he had this past year. I know he's put some weight on, but I would say Mustafa certainly has the ability. I haven't watched Ebikite. I haven't watched him yet, Jim, to really know or comment on him. Brandon Smith is another one that he certainly has the ability. I mean, he certainly has that look. He was a five-star player for a reason. He could have – I would put Brandon Smith almost in the Joey Porter Jr., Castro Fields, Rasheed Walker bucket in the sense that they have the physical ability to be a day one or day two pick. I'm not sure Mustafa does, but these other guys have the physical ability to be a day one or day two pick, but they're going to have to increase their production and consistency significantly this year.
Let's go to the offensive side real quick with Noah Kane. I always feel like running backs should go while they can. They've only got so many miles on the tread. Go when you can, especially a guy who has a bit of an injury history. I feel like if Noah Kane has a decent year, he should go.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I don't think it serves people that much coming back. Although I would say this, the two first-round running backs this year, Najee Harris and Travis Etienne, both four-year players, both completed their eligibility, you know, other than the COVID thing. But they were there for 4 years. Najee Harris greatly improved his stock. He probably would have been a third or fourth round pick the year before. Etienne, I don't know that he did. Yeah, I think Etienne would have gone late first round the year before. So I don't think Etienne really helped himself. I guess he feels like he improved his pass blocking and what he does in the passing game. But, yeah, I think if Noah Kane has a good year, he should absolutely consider it. Another guy that absolutely will be on the radar screens of the NFL would be Mike Miranda. You know, whether he's playing center or guard, he kind of strikes me as a Mennett, Fries, late round pick type, depending on the type of season that he has. It's amazing how little we talked about Jahan Dotson, Jim. You know, I think Jahan strikes me as a guy, even if he has a great year, I think people would still think he's more of a third, fourth rounder. I'm not sure they'll be awed by his pure, raw physical ability.
And that's always part of it, the balancing act between production and potential based on those physical skills. All right, Ross, that's it for Tucker's Tape. Stick around. In quarter number three, we get a chance to ask Ross. Stay tuned.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight. Just pick the main event fighter you think will win, bet $1 on that fighter, and if they win, you win $100. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.